I came across a survey the other day that asked people, what about yourself would you like to change? I almost thought about embarrassing some people by having them stand up and answer that question. Because it was kind of interesting to see the disparity in age. If I asked Katie to answer that question, what would she say? If I asked Bill that question, what would he say? It was interesting because when people under the age of 25 were asked what they would like to change, 87% of them included their nose in their list of things they would like to change. Their nose. Other things included being taller, being shorter, having more hair, having less hair, having curly hair, having straight hair, etc., etc., etc. After 25, the question was answered differently. 87%, again, same number, indicated that they would like to change the way they deal with crisis, their temper. They would like to change their feelings. They would like to change how they feel about. And then you fill in the blank. Fear was included in 40%. What's interesting about this is that there was such a huge disparity between being young and being old. Think about it for a minute. How would you answer that question? What about yourself would you like to change? You know, I think the answer for Christians is different than it is for non-Christians. Some of you may have noticed in the bulletin that the title of the lesson is, Are You Evolving? It's kind of interesting that in some segments of the religious world, the word evolution has been a red flag. They respond negatively to any suggestion of evolution. But the fact is that the word simply means an unfolding type of change. And from a biological standpoint, we all know it happens. We all know there are things like cockapoos and peekapoos and charlay and coho salmon and what have you. Those things were not on Noah's Ark. There has been change. One of the features of the design that we see in the cosmos is that there is the capacity to change. It's the foundation of agriculture. The charlay, the beefalo. Do you know there's 147 different kinds of chickens? Change. The concept of change is not a threat to the Bible. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches change. Listen to 2 Corinthians 3, beginning with verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory, and listen to this, are being transformed. That's an active verb. And it's not talking about people in the world, it's talking about Christians. We are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing splendor, which comes from the Lord who is Spirit. This word that is used, transformed, in the King James, is the Greek word metamorphos. And we use the word metamorphosis in the way in which this word is intended. A chrysalis evolves into a butterfly. It goes from ugly to beauty. It's kind of interesting to understand that a tadpole evolves into a frog. That's metamorphosis. An egg to a chicken. In the New Testament, that word is only used three times. And all three times, the other two times outside of this one, is in reference to the transfiguration. The question I would like for us to consider today is, for Christians, how do we do that? I'm not talking about how do you change your nose. I'm not talking about how do you get taller or shorter, more hair, less hair. If I had the chance to get more hair, I might do it. I don't know, though bald is neat. But the kind of change that I think we're talking about is what comes with age. Do you notice the difference between the young folks' response to how would you like to change and the older people's response? When we're young, we're looking at cosmetics. We're looking at things that have to do with the way we look, the way we behave. It has to do with how we appear. Sometimes it has to do with social capacities and abilities. As you get older, things change. You get concerned about your temper. You get concerned about your feelings. You get concerned about how you feel about things. You get concerned about being afraid. Things change. I guess that's why blood pressure and psychotic drugs and all that is becoming such a rage in our culture. Let me suggest to you a couple of things about how we change. Things that I hope will be an encouragement to you. Things that I think all of us need to stop and think about. And the first thing I'd like to call to your attention is we need to believe we can change. You know, I think a lot of times we get to the point in life where we think, well, I just can't change. I just can't do it. Let me tell you something. Hopelessness paralyzes you. It paralyzes you. It produces stagnation. It causes you to not be able to become the better person God intends for you to be. You remember the passage in Matthew 17 and verse 20? I tell you the truth. If you have the faith as small as a mustard seed, you need a hand lens to see a mustard seed. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it'll move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Now, Jesus is not talking about moving mountains in a physical sense. This is not a bulldozer passage. As a matter of fact, it's important to understand that Jesus didn't talk about having faith as a condition of change. Do you hear that? Jesus did not talk about having faith as a condition of change. We have people in our world that say, well, you got to have enough faith to be healed. You got to have enough faith to accomplish a change. You got to have enough faith to make your life different, to overcome alcoholism or drug addiction or whatever your addiction is. Jesus didn't talk about having that kind of faith. There are some cases, like, for instance, the widow in Luke 7, beginning with verse 12. This widow whose son had died, Jesus is coming up to the city. The funeral procession is going by. Jesus, and there's lots of reasons why he did this, brings this son back to life. The woman doesn't know who she is. There's no dialogue between him and the woman or him and the son, and yet he performs an incredible miracle. There is no case where Jesus makes having faith a requirement for change. You say, well, I just have a lot of doubt. Okay. Have faith as a grain of a mustard seed. You got that much faith, you wouldn't be here this morning, especially with this weather. The mountains we can move are the mountains of fear and broken lives and broken relationships. 12-step programs basically say to people, I overcame and so can you. We need to believe there can be change. We need to believe that we can do it differently. Mark 9, beginning of verse 22. That's a story I relate to so profoundly. This father brings this child to Jesus. The child is having epileptic seizures. And this father says, if you can do anything, Jesus, please take pity on us and help us. And Jesus' response is, if I can? And then he goes on and he says, everything is possible for him who believes. And the father says to Jesus at this point, I do believe. Help my unbelief. We need to pray about help with our unbelief. We need to talk about God, about the fact that we need to make change, that we want to make change. Jesus says, if you believe that change can occur, it will occur. And over in my life, I have seen people come out of situations that looked hopeless. Things that I didn't think they could ever overcome. But they did change. Wonderful things took place. And I have seen other people who just gave up. I can't make a difference. I won't try. Believe that you can change. Let me also suggest something else to you. Be patient. Change takes time. How long does it take for a caterpillar to turn into a butterfly? That doesn't happen overnight, does it? How long does it take for a tadpole to turn into a frog? How long does it take for an egg to turn into a chicken? That Greek word, metamorphosis, is not an instant change. You know, I think one of the things that happens is that we think somehow that when we're baptized, all of a sudden, everything's going to be different. I'm having that struggle with my brother right now. He was baptized. I baptized him into Christ over Thanksgiving, you remember. And in the process of all that, he's dying of Parkinson's. And things are not good. Every time I talk to him on the phone, he keeps wanting an instant change. He's wanting an instant relief. And he doesn't really see that there's already been a substantial change in the way he's looking at his life and at his death. But he wants instant gratification. That's part of our society. Folks, that is not the way God works. On Wednesday night, we're studying biblical characters. We studied Moses. How long did it take for Moses to go from a shepherd in Midian to becoming the leader of the nation? It was 40 years before he even started. Our next study, when we finish the series on archaeology that Richard is dealing with us right now, we're going to talk about Abraham. How long did it take Abraham from the time that he left Ur of the Chaldees partially obeying God to when we have that incredible story with Isaac? How long did it take David to move from a shepherd to a king? How long did it take Paul to go from a Pharisee to an apostle? How long did it take Matthew to go from a tax collector to the author of a gospel? How long did it take Mark to go from a failed missionary to the author of a gospel? And look around you. Our modern day heroes have evolved. It's been an encouragement to me that when I see some of the great leaders of the church today, men I've been privileged to know, Ira North, Bethel Barrett Baxter, Mid McKnight, I hear them talk about how long it took for them to work out of the struggles that I have had all my life to become the power for good that they are. How long did it take C.S. Lewis to change? Modern day heroes have evolved. They have changed. You know, I think that's why in the teaching of church leadership, the Bible tells us that there should be older men. You read Timothy and Titus and their discussion of elders. And in 1 Timothy 3:6, it says, for example, he must be must not be a recent convert and must have a good reputation with outsiders. Becoming an elder takes time. Being a person who can deal with the kinds of challenges that come up in the church takes time. Be patient. Don't want instant gratification. Work at it a step at a time. And thirdly, may I suggest to you that to evolve, all things become new. Does a caterpillar look anything like a butterfly? I have a picture of a beautiful butterfly. What did that guy look like when he was a caterpillar? Look at the change. By the way, this is a model of a caterpillar. Pretty fierce looking guy. How long did that take? What kind of a change was involved? Romans 6 and verse 4 says, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. You can't be a caterpillar and a butterfly and show both characteristics. You know, when I was a kid, I had this mystery. I wanted to find out when this became that. And so I found one of those chrysalis hanging on a tree. I figured I'll catch him in the act. And I'll get one of these with wings. You know what happened? You cut that thing open and you got a big gooey mess. There's no wings. There's nothing attractive. It's just a big gooey mess. All things must become new. And isn't that the way it is with life? To make a change, to be the kind of person God calls you to be, you have to leave the gooey mess and let God transform you. You can't be a butterfly with caterpillar appendages. Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 21, says, "You have heard of Jesus and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on a new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." It takes time, but you can change the way you think. It takes time, but you can have a different attitude towards others, towards life, towards what you do in life. Your life can be different. And I know that from personal experience, but I also know it in God's Word. In your bulletin, I have a list of passages. 2 Corinthians 5:17, Galatians 6:15, Ephesians 2:15. You're going to need to read through those passages. Go through those passages and see how they talk about becoming new, becoming different. You can become like this. You don't have to stay like this your whole life. And it's important to understand that this concept of newness is the foundation of becoming a Christian. To be something different. To not be like everybody else. To not be like the old self. Believe that. Believe you can change. And finally, may I suggest to you that there's an ultimate end to the evolutionary process. There is an ultimate end. One of the things that's interesting about this is that you have to understand that in biology, it is whatever the design was created to do. The butterfly is an end. That's the way God intended it. I don't know whether you've ever been, some of you have heard me tell the story about going into the butterfly house up in on Mackinac Island with Phyllis. And she must have had a high blood sugar. And she sat down and was just covered with butterflies. And the whole concept, the whole beauty of that thing was to realize that there was such a change in their lives, and they made a change in her life. We can be different. We can change our relationships. Men can be faithful to their wives. Wives can be faithful to their husbands. There can be a change in attitudes. There can be a change in influence, in our dress, in what we enjoy doing, in our recreation, in our care of our bodies, in how we use our money. Those things can change. But don't expect rapid change, but expect everything to become new. And expect that ultimate end. Now, the analogy with the butterflies and the frogs and the chickens breaks down. Why does it break down? Because in the natural world, things change. The environment changes. The classic example is Lake Michigan. Look at the change that has occurred in the fish population of Lake Michigan since 1959 when I first moved up here. I remember going to Tower Hill when we came here in 59 and all there was on the beach was dead alewife. There had been a change. The change was man-caused in that case. These ocean creatures got into the Great Lakes. But then because of that change, there was a change in the salmon. And so now we have the coho. But that's made a change in other parts of the ecology. So the analogy breaks down. The difference for us is that when we become new, the end product is being Christ-like, and nothing changes that. we can go to our deaths being transformed. So go back to the passage we started with in 2 Corinthians 3:18. We are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing splendor, which comes from God. Are you changing? We're in a new year. Are you any different this year than you were last year? Can you look at the way you think and see any difference? Can you look at what you do with your time and see any difference? I hope that the answer to that is yes. I think for a majority of people in this congregation, there's been a tremendous change. When I look at how people are involved with our work with the food bank, as I look at the concerns we have for each other, for Audrey, for Larry, for Maylene, for people who are struggling with immediate crises, there's been a change in how we approach the needs of people that we have an association with, Debbie and her family and all the struggles that they have. Interesting that I see people being willing to share with brothers and sisters struggles they're having. Willard this morning has a weird letter from the IRS, and he was willing to share that with us and let us help and advise and encourage him in dealing with that situation. Brethren, that's change. That's becoming new. That's the end product God intends for this congregation, for us to be united, for us to be driven in purpose, for us to be capable of sharing with one another, to be different, to be transformed. Not by natural selection or environment, but transformed into the likeness, His likeness, with ever-increasing splendor. More and more, we, as we grow, become more like Christ. When we're baptized, the Spirit dwells in us and starts that evolutionary process. That transformation starts when we become a Christian. We've pointed out before that in Acts 2 and verse 38, we are told we will receive the gift of the Spirit. When you become a Christian, you have a tool for change. You have the capacity to talk to God about the struggles that you're having, to ask God's help, to be transformed by God into something that is closer to what you want to be, what God wants you to be. Are you open to that change? Are you willing to use the tools that God has given you? It worries me when I see somebody refusing to become a Christian, refusing to obey God, because it concerns me that they are unwilling to make their life any different than it is. They're happy to stay in a rut. And sometimes that rut involves things they don't really like. But they feel powerless to change. Believe there is change. Believe God can work in you. Believe you can be new. Be open to change. If you're here this morning and if you become stagnant, I hope you'll give us a chance to pray with you to make things different, to call upon God to help, to make you change in a way that will give you the capacity to become more like the butterfly and less like the caterpillar. And if you've never become a Christian, if you've never obeyed God and opened yourself to His Spirit that gives you the capacity to change, we would encourage you to do that. If in any way you're subject to the invitation of Christ, we urge you to respond to that. Come and express that as together we stand and sing to encourage you. Won't you please come?